Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Providing you with the latest equipment to pack your hockey bag full of super sweaty knowledge. This is Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
A second consecutive Game 3 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the conference finals, coming your way tonight. St. Louis against San Jose, 9 o'clock on CBC. The winner takes a 2-1 series lead, trying to follow up on what the Pittsburgh Penguins accomplished last night in Tampa against the Lightning. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon, where we will also look ahead to the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Jake DeBrusk, first-round draft choice, will join us. He and his Red Deer Rebels getting set for the opener coming up on Friday night. Darren Millard here in the studio with Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean. The Pittsburgh Penguins were dominant in taking a 2-1 series lead in the 4-2 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. The two goals that separated the clubs are really flattering the Tampa Bay Lightning in this one. And you're seeing Sidney Crosby find his game a lot more effective. Evgeny Malkin gets a point last night. Matt Murray is solid in that, and Phil Kessel continues to produce at a more than a point per game pace in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Was that a swing game last night? I know Game 4 is usually the swing game because you can take a 3-1 series lead, or it can be 2-2. But the way the Penguins dominated, Doug.
Well, I think it's a swing game because you go into the visiting after you split at home, and you go back in and you regain home ice. You dominate the game the way you did. Look, Tampa's got some excuses, you know, missing their number one goalie, although the kid played exceptionally well last night with 48 shots against. But, yeah, I thought it was a swing game. The bigger thing is now, if you lose, go down 3-1 at home, if you go down 3-1 at home, it's over. So the pressure goes right on squarely on Tampa's shoulders for the next game at home. You don't like that.
Listen, you give up over 40 shots in back-to-back games, that's not good for anybody. But I would have pulled Vasilevsky the last 8 minutes on that fourth goal. I didn't like the way he behaved after multiple goals. I'm like,
snapping a stick, yeah, and waving his arms.
What is that? What is that?
Why can't he do that?
Well, he's a rookie number.
Because he's got eight games, and it's showing up your team when you've got eight
career.
Maybe
he's challenging his team.
Stop it. You don't, as a 21-year-old with eight career playoff games, you don't just do your job.
He did his job.
Don't call out your teammates.
Well, why?
Okay?
Yeah,
don't call out your teammates.
And Crosby went at it.
You're going to compare a 21-year-old kid with eight career games to Sidney Crosby?
No, I'm to Patrick Hornquist, I am.
You know,
I'm okay with Hornquist. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm okay. But I'm sorry, Vasilevsky. You've been great so far.
So in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you would have pulled him just because he snapped his stick.
I would have pulled him because, number one, the game was over, and I don't like his behavior. I don't. And I'm not going to rip him because he's 21, but he needs to be brought in quietly and say, you got to do a better job of handling yourself.
Maybe they're doing that today.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's the way you do it. Like, I wouldn't call him out in front of the cameras, in front of your teammates, but you got to get to a kid who's lacking experience in that moment.
He wouldn't like Letang turning to him and going, what's with that? And Letang's a veteran.
No finger pointing,
I mean,
please.
You don't do it this time of year. And
He
didn't call out anybody, but he behaved. I didn't like it either, to be quite honest. Well, I wouldn't have pulled him.
No, his behavior, he had some issues with his teammates.
Of course he did. Okay. They almost allowed
that's
50
calling
shots.
Out.
But that's the coach's job.
What do you think
that's
is calling
his.
Out? What do you think is calling
no,
out?
Individually. He didn't point at somebody and go, what are you doing?
But that's the coach's responsibility to call out the players, not the goalies.
He's 21, though.
That's even more reason not to do it.
That's right.
How many 21-year-olds learn on the fly?
How many 21-year-olds do that?
He's been thrown into this
How many 21-year-olds do that?
I'm just going to chalk it up to being young and inexperienced.
Yes, and that's fine, but
chalk it up to whatever you want.
Shouldn't happen. Should not happen. But he's... You need him. Bishop's not ready. If he's not ready, you need him, and that's why you got to handle it with some kid gloves.
You ever watch soccer? Soccer goalies just give it to their teammates.
Right.
You want our game to go down that path?
I find it entertaining.
Oh God!
The bigger question is for John Cooper is what's going on with his team? Like, they look slow at times. I mean, that was as fast a pace. And the guys, Yui and Simmer, kept talking about it throughout the game. And you could see it, the pace
first,
of the game.
I was out of breath after the first period.
Yeah, it was through the roof. So was Phil. Phil lost his breath there, totally.
Yeah, listen.
But anyway.
Should we all do it? If we're going to talk about Phil, should we all check our breath?
Anyway. So the situation is, okay, what has gone wrong with his team?
Like, bad for Phil? He's got a great moment. A great moment. He's battled and fought through all this stuff over the course of his career in Toronto, and taken hits when he didn't deserve it, and taken hits when he truly deserved that, and then some.
Probably should say, are you fatigued?
But then it's 1-1 on the night. He's more than a point per game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then the question was, how's your breath? And
you probably should have said, are you fatigued?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just weird. I feel bad for him because it was just, he finally has a great moment still ends up being a little awkward.
You know what Pierre was trying to get to?
Totally. Exactly.
He's trying to, I don't know, kind of befriend him a little bit to get him to say, you know, people have questioned your conditioning.
But you don't want to phrase it that way.
And he just got caught with just a wide open question where Phil just went in probably the direction that most people would have gone.
And I give Phil credit. He handled it really well.
I will say this.
It was awkward, but he handled it
well. And you watch him, and you can make arguments that was the best game of his career. And on that first goal, like, he made the defensive play before he made the offensive play.
He stripped Drew out of the puck.
He stripped him, but even to get him at times to come into his own zone and not cheat is something, you know, that he has not been known for, or he has been known for.
Yeah.
So I think he's starting to realize that, you know, he's close.
You know what he's starting to realize?
And he can slay a lot of dragons.
He wants to win.
He can shut a lot of people up by winning.
And
now,
and he smells it. And he's, you know, and that's great on him. And you know what? He's bought into this line. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. When he's put on the line with Bonino back in whenever Sullivan did it, he would have been shaking his head. He would have been shaking, and a lot of people in Pittsburgh have been shaking their head at Sid or at Kessel all year. Not now, they're not. Now they're, you know, Jimmy Rutherford and these guys look like geniuses.
Update from Chris Johnson.
There's a reason why he's
just keeping. Yeah. Ben Bishop remains on the ice for the Tampa Bay Lightning at practice.
There's a reason why he's making $64 million.
Right.
I mean, he's a world class.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs retain 1.4.
Right.
Yeah. For next six years. The other thing is, nobody's ever denied that Phil Kessel wasn't an unbelievable goal scorer. Right from the time he was 12 to now.
Yeah.
This guy is a pure scorer.
He hit this level at the Olympics for the first week.
Yep. So, what impressed me more than the back check, because back check, that's drilled into you.
Not Phil.
No, it should be. But when he got the puck and went down the ice, the old Phil, tunnel vision. Straight down, right at you, coming down with time winding down. You know he's looking and shoot. Instead, he took two looks who was with him
at Haglund.
Yeah, two looks, but he was still trying to score.
I don't think.
Don't believe he's trying to lay it out for a rebound. He was trying to score.
Yes, hard shot.
Missed
and
a
if
shot
it doesn't go in,
though.
Big time. But not only that,
if it doesn't go in, it's going to sit there. And he knew Haglund was going to the net.
And not only
how
that.
How many guys missed the net on that play?
He was head-to-head with Hedman. He was head-to-head with Hedman with, what, five seconds left?
Did you watch Colburn in front of the net on Haglund?
Right.
Do Colburn the drive-by?
Right.
He had a bad night. Penalties.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know,
they all had a bad night.
But Bonino, how can you not, when you watch Bonino, people shook their head when Sutter was traded for Bonino, okay? Because Bonino was not good in Vancouver. He was just very average in Vancouver. Real good in Anaheim, average in Vancouver. But I'll tell you what, talk about a guy that plays 200 feet. Talk about a guy that blocks shots. What about the play he made to Phil from behind the net? Haglund's involved in it, but he makes the play. Bonino, I mean, how good is he?
I don't know if Phil ever had the label of having tunnel vision. He is a pure shooter, but you talk to a lot of the guys that have played with him over the years, especially here in Toronto. They say he was always a better playmaker than he got credited for.
I think that 9 times out of 10 in the past, he shoots that puck to score. And that means...
But he doesn't... I don't think he has tunnel vision. I would not classify him as a guy that buries his head down and doesn't have... have an idea of where his line mates are.
Where we may agree, though, is he is a player that the Pittsburgh Penguins can't win without right now. He's as important of a player on that team right now.
You can argue Haglund's in that boat. You can argue Bonino. I mean,
Letang.
The depth that Sullivan
is
getting.
You better be Matlock if you're going to argue Bonino.
And let's not forget Letang, what he's done.
They've got a lot of pieces going right now. To roll 3.5 lines is unbelievable this time of year if you can get guys to produce.
No, the line's been exceptional. I mean, they've been so much better than any line on Tampa.
Tampa Bay put it on a tee.
They were better than any line in Washington. And that's with superstars against them, including Backstrom and Ovechkin.
More from reporter Chris Johnston, who's covering the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Steven Stamkos back on the ice for practice today after not skating the last couple of days.
A little more urgency maybe to see if they can get him in the lineup.
John Cooper put the triplets back together last night.
We talked about this. I think it's just so hard now for a guy to come off surgery.
No.
He didn't have a day procedure. He was in the hospital for an extended period of time.
So
he lost weight. He couldn't train. To go and run 3 or 4 practices now and put him back into a game situation,
I think
is crazy.
Well, if the doctors give the okay, that's obviously the number one thing. But if I'm Tampa, I want him on the power play. I want him out there so that I can ignite something. Because and Glenn Healy talked about it last night. Zero from their bottom two lines. Big difference compared to Pittsburgh. So they need something to ignite them. And even if you dressed them and used them on the power play, you would want that.
You okay with taking Killorn off the top line, reuniting the triplets?
I don't mind that. You got to try whatever you can try, and Palat was having a good game. I don't have a problem with it. Johnson, to me, doesn't look like the same player. Drouin turns it over in a critical situation. Hedman, to me, I really wanted to watch the matchup last night of Hedman versus Letang. Two premier defensemen that are really reasons where their teams are.
Okay, how does that work head-to-head when you talk about head-to-head between two defensemen?
I just wanted to watch who was more important to their team last night.
Because I thought Hedman was involved. How many minutes he played. But
28, 30.
It was almost 30.
If you go by puck possession, he had it on a stick all night.
To me,
when the Lightning had it.
To me, Letang was better than he was last night. With what Letang brought offensively, I thought he was better, than Hedman. It's not head-to-head as much as I thought he was better for his team than Hedman. Hedman's been good.
And there wasn't much room for Letang to get up and down the ice. I mean, it was pretty tight there for half the game. And he doesn't need to be jumping on every play here. That's how good
he kept the play alive on a couple of forechecks there, where he pinched down and kept the play alive and kept them hemmed in and took away some of Tampa's confidence, just the way he was performing to keep the puck alive, gets it through from the point. I just loved his game. And that's not – I mean, I just thought he was better than Hedman last night. And Hedman's been a horse. He's been that good.
So what did you think of the Hornquist-Crosby exchange?
Exactly where I was going to go.
I loved it. You get
Phil trying to break him up.
You got Phil obsessed and feeling that he has a chance to win, and you got Sid saying, "I haven't won a cup in a long time. I'm getting I want it real bad." And I've got to tell you,
Patrick didn't back down at all.
And Kunitz doesn't back down from him either. And Letang doesn't back down from him. There's a group of guys that don't in that dressing room, and he knows it. But here's the thing for me with Sid. There's been a lot of problems with referees, whining with referees, complaining. I think he's done a great job getting away from all that in this year's playoffs. So if he gets into a little thing and he's greasy, I like a greasy Sid. A greasy Sid for me is a better Sid.
When does that get uncomfortable on the bench? You saw Sullivan come over.
It gets uncomfortable.
And give them both a pat.
When you lose. Right,
yeah. and you saw Kessel trying to stop them.
Yeah,
you know, it's when you're winning, it's the right thing to do. But when you're losing, I can tell you, It's not. Yeah. And
listen,
Sid's...
That looked nasty to the point where I wondered whether it was going to escalate at all.
Sid is regarded as the hardest teammate to play with.
Right.
Okay? And he's got an intensity and a focus.
Mm-hmm. And so does Hornquist.
Mm-hmm. But not... Like he's not as intense as Sid. No one really is as intense as Sid.
But have you seen a European... Like, how many Europeans have you seen that get into that type of confrontation on the bench? They are the mild... Like... Swedish players and Finnish players, when I've coached them, were the mildest, nicest guys you could ever imagine. I never had one of them get into a confrontation on the bench with a teammate, ever.
May not have to worry about Hornquist going forward. We don't know the results of what happened with his hand, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, look,
so
but I'll tell you what, as a coach on the bench, you're really uncomfortable with it. I didn't like it. Shut it down.
I don't know if
shut it down for
the viewers at home if they could replay it one more time. But you watch Sullivan there; he's within an earshot.
Yeah,
he doesn't get involved. He kind of lets them have their peace a little bit, and then when it was done, he put both his hands on each player as if, okay, boys, that's enough.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I thought it was
the perfect
temperament.
But didn't you see Kessel also piping in saying, boys, come on,
Kessel
boys.
Kessel tried to push, you know, and Patrick didn't let down either. And it was over, we believe that it was over a playoff the faceoff. I don't know if you watched Elliott last night.
They're still going at it when Sullivan steps
but
in.
It was off a faceoff where there was a loose puck and Hornquist went in there and basically got it. We think that maybe Sid thought he had a clear path to get to the net,
right.
And that was the gist of the frustration. But
earlier in this series,
Hornquist, I'm telling you, this guy's a player. Mm-hmm. He plays hard. Oh. He is seldomly not the first forechecker on the play. This guy, he creates so much.
That's a significant loss.
I think what he's done is they found a guy that can really play with Sid because. He wants to be in the paint. He wants to be in the goalie's face, and he lets Sid do his below the goal line stuff. So I think it's a great complimentary player. And we talked about that a year ago when that trade was made, that he was a great complimentary player.
Kevin Sullivan, earlier in this series, Mike Sullivan. That's why we always call him Sullivan.
Yeah. Who's Kevin?
I think he's a baseball player.
He's a boxer, isn't he?
So Mike Sullivan went
Olympic down.
Remember,
boxer.
Remember the... He just yelled at his team.
Sean O'Sullivan?
Sean O'Sullivan. Yeah,
Sean O'Sullivan, yes. Sean.
But Mike
eat
just
your chicken, Sean.
Yelled at his team. Shut up. You guys had that clip.
Yeah.
This one he handled a little bit differently.
Was it the last time? Was it Sid?
It was Malkin.
It was Malkin.
So,
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Easier to yell at Malkin. He's shown an intensity behind that bench. And maybe that's just... Last night's an example of maybe learning from your experience a little bit because he did a nice job of kind of holding back a little bit and letting the boys kind of let off steam and move on.
Slide over to San Jose and St. Louis in just a second, but first acknowledge the general manager of the year finalist, Brian McClellan from the Washington Capitals, Jim Neal of the Dallas Stars, and Jim Rutherford from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jim Rutherford from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Didn't look that way.
Wow.
In November.
He was on a run of where it just looked like he was snake bit with some of the moves that he was making.
Well, you know what? When Jimmy went in there, he had a salary cap disaster on his hands. Mm-hmm. He had the Niskanen situation. He had the Orpik situation that he had to walk away from. Put him in a bind. Then he has to feel he has to get a veteran, so he gives up Dupre to get Love. You know, so he made some moves. Then he's got to get rid of Neal because of money. James Neal had to go because of money.
But he brought in Hagelin, who has term.
Right,
but that looked like a risky move from a salary cap.
But once he got it cleaned up, mm-hmm. once he made the moves to clean it up, then he was able to bring in a Hagelin and contain money and lose.
You know what?
So it was a tough situation, and really a lot of people were questioning it big time. And then all of a sudden.
And makes the coaching change.
Yes. But the Hagelin deal turned out.
And the
Kessel deal.
Hagelin and Daly.
And Kessel.
Increased their speed significantly.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Brought in a lot of money. for a lot of years with those moves.
But he also had a team that needed to win now. And it's, maybe they'll pay for it a couple years down the road. But, you know, he's six wins away from a Stanley Cup.
But will he pay for it? Because all of a sudden, if Fleury's $6 million goes, you know, with an expansion situation, you know, it may be okay, you know.
Kevin Sullivan's a wrestler.
Sean Sullivan, I think, boxed him one time.
World WCW, the Taskmaster.
Okay.
I've actually made a point of writing it down because I was... There's so many of them.
Safe to say we all stink with
Sullivan,
names.
Sullivan. What do you guys anticipate happening tonight between San Jose and St. Louis? The onus,
better game,
I guess, is on St. Louis.
Yes, without a doubt. I think in many ways they probably had this similar kind of feel after...
Same as Tampa.
After the game as Tampa, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? They just didn't bring their A game and... You know, it's emotional. It's you're now what, 5 weeks into it, right? You're not gonna play at every level at every. It's hard to go
and
this
I thought
long
that would
of
happen
a stretch
in game two because
without having some sort of letdown or setback.
They
and that's
didn't
what
play a great
through.
Game in game one no. and got away with it. So I was expecting something much better in game two.
And you know,
slow.
They've got to come up with a strategy to contain a Pavelski and a Burns and a Thornton. And a power play that's right now lethal. So, you know, penalties.
They did in game one. They nullified Burns pretty good.
Although
in game
territorially,
one.
San Jose looked like the better team in that game. Yeah. Even you know, like as Hitch said, we've played two B games, and this time of year you can't now. They've been a better road team. That's the positive thing. Better on the road. I mean, it'll be a hard-fought battle tonight. Elliott has remained solid, you know. People kept saying, when's he going to have slippage? One game.
Yeah. San
that's
Jose,
all he's had.
San
game.
Jose
game six, game six against Dallas.
That was the one game. Yeah. You know, that was the one game in the whole playoffs.
San Jose, when you looked at the series, you said, okay, they can come across as big and heavy, but they're fast too. And the one thing that St. Louis has to do is find a way to slow the game down, kind of dummy it down, dull it up. And they were able to do that in game one. They couldn't do it in game two.
When they get the puck in the offensive zone, that San Jose Sharks team, it's really difficult. Until they attempt a shot or a play, it's really tough to get the puck off them.
You know, and then in game one, you see Backes pull on the... On Thornton's beard, and you're like, you know, Backes has got them right where he wants them. And then Joe comes back and, you know, throws the water over the glass with those kids and starts dancing it up. And you're
time.
Like, Joe's got them right where he wants them. So we'll see what happens tonight.
I know you bit somebody. You ever pull hair?
Not hair, pullings.
I don't know. Maybe accidentally had a handful somewhere.
Would you pull somebody's beard though? Because I've never seen it before.
No, I don't. I've never. No, no.
Never. Just I was having a drink of our water here. I was thinking about
spilling it.
No, Bob McCowan last night. He had a bottle of his wine on his on his desk.
Is that allowed?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I asked that question.
You know, we've watched this emergence of Brent Burns and the. Blooming right before our eyes this season. Nobody's talking about Mark Edward Vlasic.
No, because he's just...
Well, he's not flashy.
Or Paul Martin.
Right.
Paul Martin's been every bit as...
He's internationally recognized as a top player, right? Canada. So
it's just
a different style, right?
He's just too steady a guy.
He won't get the attention of a Burns. He's just not... flashy. It's not that it factor.
I still go back to Pavelski as their best player by a country mile. Even better than Burns for me. The way what he's done and what his teammates think of him, what his coaches think about him. For a guy that's not a big guy, that doesn't do anything like superstarish, but he's a superstar. He's a superstar right now, Pavelski. It's unbelievable.
The other incredible part about the San Jose Sharks is their ability to trot out the same lineup almost on a nightly basis. And the same six defensemen every night.
Yeah. Somebody said
Rowan Pollock, Brendan Dillon, Paul Martin.
Zubras has given them a lot the last couple
Zubas?
Of games.
Zubras.
Dennis Zubras?
Dane.
Dynas.
Dynas?
Yeah. Well, that's what I say.
I thought you said Zubas. Because I was one being caught Zuboff. On pronunciation. Yesterday. You jumped me on the pronunciation.
I know.
Both of you jumped me on it.
I just said it 2 seconds ago.
You don't say a word to him
I just
on the
said it. I said it 30 seconds ago.
He corrected
We're
himself.
Horrible with names.
Kevin Sullivan.
Right? Doug.
Okay.
So, but the same six defensemen every night?
Doug Wilson. Same lineup every night.
They've made a couple of changes, but yeah.
Very, very few changes. But you talk
Zubris
about.
Has played five games.
You know, we just talked about Jim Rutherford. Okay, and the moves he made. Doug Wilson, we know Doug likes to just come on when they've won 8 of 9 or 9 of 10.
No, he doesn't.
But Doug Wilson deserves some credit for the job he's done. Think about Paul Martin acquisition.
I know.
He did
Don
make
Skoy.
He did make the Burns trade for Heatley.
Joel Ward.
Joel Ward's been a great pickup.
Backed up his goaltending with
he's
Gene
also,
Reimer.
He's also
he made
a general
the Jones
manager.
Trade.
He's the also Jones a general trade. Manager. That try to get Joe out and Joe refused.
Right.
And Joe would not be a Shark today if he didn't stand up to Doug Wilson. Okay?
I'm just saying.
Marlowe asked to be traded.
Yeah.
Couldn't get enough takers or else he would be gone. It's kind of an accident in a way that
so
those guys are there. Yeah.
He made a coaching change.
Right? That they are still there. And not only are they there, you're getting like.
So how did it
an
go?
Inspiration from Joe. It's not Joe's team anymore. You're absolutely right. Pavelski and Brent
looks like
Burns,
it a lot of times.
It is their team. What they are getting out of Joe is this. First of all, he's playing out of his tree. He's playing as good as he's ever been his whole career. And on top of that, the player they're getting inspiration for him. It is, you know,
from him or for him. He's inspiring
them. They want to win it for him, okay? It's not Ray Bourque where I've adopted him like Colorado did or inherited him, whatever you want to call it. He's been there. He's been a pretty much a lifer at San Jose. But they're getting the same juice off of getting this close for a guy like him.
I was wondering who would get the cup second there.
But
imagine it'd be Marlowe.
But in in reality, we know Doug Wilson would never have had him this far.
So how did it go from being so dysfunctional with the exchanges between Doug Wilson and Joe Thornton and then Patrick Marlowe asking for a trade at the start of this year to now being five wins away from a Stanley Cup?
Is it fair to say?
I'll tell you, the power of the player and a no move. That's what it is.
But how did it go from being that bad to playing so good when it was that bad?
Was it also
it's
just not,
it's up to the players and they're and
but you still have to take what was a bad situation. They're not asking to leave if it's a good situation.
Well, no, they just played, Darren. They just blocked everything out and they just played,
but
and they played incredibly well.
You know what is it fair to say it was also dysfunctional between McClellan and Wilson, and maybe the coaching change may change some of that as well in the dressing room?
I don't know as much about that relationship.
Oh, no.
It wasn't very good.
No. I'll tell you.
You're absolutely right.
And going Peter DeBoer, Steve Spott, those guys have come in.
And they've brought things up.
Probably. Breath of fresh air.
And they know there's a strong relationship between DeBoer and McClellan. You know, between Wilson and DeBoer, there's a good relationship, as there always is when a guy first starts coaching a team. Changes as time goes on. With 99.9% of the situations. But right now, it's positive. So maybe that fresh air has helped too.
Fresh breath. Who wins tonight?
I think San Jose wins tonight. And I'd like it to be a long series, but it wouldn't surprise me San Jose wins.
Mr. Hockey Night?
I'll take St. Louis to match. Yeah. I think they'll bring a better game tonight. They'll be like... They'll pick it up tonight. I think this will be a long series as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I say San Jose. I guess you would say San Jose because of the edge at home. St. Louis, with the way they've performed on the road, they could go in and win. Not easy, but they could go in and win. Tarasenko. Tarasenko's got to be a
game breaker. Did John Shannon get into it that there is not an advantage at home for San Jose?
No, I didn't. Don't think I did.
Yes.
I don't usually get into it with him.
Yes.
I did listen to that show.
When did I get into it about advantage at home?
Because San Jose has been so great on the road at home, but so good on the road that it didn't matter whether they started on the road or not.
Oh yeah, and I said it always matters. You always want to start at home.
Okay, so. I don't know. I think you actually went the other side.
The hamster's back on the wheel now.
What's their record home and away right now?
They're 5-1 at home in these playoffs.
Yeah, not bad.
But we're
means
terrible.
Something, I guess, eh?
No, but they were terrible.
I guess it means something.
No, but you took the opposite one that
in the argument I said home ice is always critical. Home ice means a lot. That's what I said. And they're 5-1. Thank you.
Before we continue, Morley Safer's passed away.
Who?
84 years old.
60 Minutes?
Yes.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Canadian ties there. But
Ottawa guy?
Journalist.
Ottawa?
No. His first job was Woodstock.
Wow.
Born and raised in Toronto.
Was he working up until now?
Just retired last week.
Oh, he did.
So Morley Safer, one of the great journalists of our era.
Yeah.
When we continue, more on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Jake DeBrusk is not going to be able to join us. He's in a video session. Imagine that. The day before you start the MasterCard Memorial Cup, you opt for a video session instead of coming on this show.
Well, we should have Louis come on in his place.
Can we try Louis? Yeah, we'll get
Clearly
Louis.
He's got his priorities straight.
No, let's not get Louis because we don't have a lot of time.
Are you saying Louis talks a lot? Is that what you're saying?
I'm kidding. I wouldn't say it to his face.
No, you wouldn't say it. Not if he was in here.
He'd be running faster than you do on that treadmill, I can tell you that.
Other hockey news, Glenn Hanlon has been named general manager of the Vancouver Giants of the Western Hockey League.
Wow,
so Glenn Hanlon's back in North America.
Great for Glenn. Great for Glenn.
National Hockey League coach, worked in Europe.
Super.
So there's a couple of tidbits for you as we take a break and come back. Maybe Louis DeBrusk working on other things with the San Jose St. Louis series as well. Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet app, and the NHL Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Continuing on Hockey Central at noon, Brett Hedekin coming up in just a second. I know he's on hold, but we have to get Peter Mansbridge or Rosemary Barton on after the kerfuffle in the House of Commons yesterday. Put in your earpiece, Doug, before you think that we're not on the air and you start talking about other things.
No, I know we're on the air.
Really get us in trouble.
Really get us in trouble. Detroit Red Wings are going to part ways with Kyle Quincy and Brad Richards. That news out of the Motor City. Here's Brett Hedekin, Flames analyst or San Jose Sharks analyst, covering this Western Conference final against the St. Louis Blues. How on 1 to 10? How good have the Sharks played in the opening two games of this Western Conference final, Brett?
I think in game one, I don't think they played their best hockey, and I think everybody after the game, you know, including all the players and even us up in the box, that, you know, they let one slide there. And, you know, in the playoffs, you just cannot allow a team to not play their best and still be able to win that game. I mean, they could have still won that game, even though they didn't play their best. Game two, the Sharks played the way I've seen them play much of the year, kind of a swarming attack, moving the puck north very efficiently, very rapidly. The defense for the first time in a long, I guess, a long stretch of hockey, because even the Nashville series, I think they threw the puck away a little bit more than I've seen them throw the puck away. And I thought they settled back down really good in that game, too. And, boy, you saw the effects of it. They negotiated out of their own end very efficiently. They, you know, were really good on the forecheck and consequently caused a lot of turnovers from St. Louis, and it ended up in the back of their net.
Hey, Brett, home ice would have been the last place they wanted to be during the regular season. The eighth worst home record, which in and itself is so hard to believe when you watch this team today, and yet they've been able to turn that right around with five straight wins at home in the playoffs. Where do you look first at why during the regular season and why now in the playoffs?
You know, I think, you know, on the road, it seemed like, you know, Pete DeBoer has done a great job of rolling his four lines, trusting players, and putting him out there in, you know, even the young guys, Chris Tierney, in pivotal moments of a hockey game, he'll put him out there. It doesn't matter. And I think at home, you know, sometimes you think the matchups were going to work to their advantage. But I think in some ways it maybe took away from what his normal rhythm was on the road of getting guys all four lines kind of rhythmically on the ice. And when you get at home, you kind of get away from that rhythm sometimes. And I think at times it made him a little bit stagnant and it made him get off their game a little bit. In the playoffs here, I think you're seeing guys just buy into their roles and you know how that is, Nick. And I think the things that, you know, playoff hockey is, you know what you have to do to be successful throughout each line and each defensive pairing and the goaltender, all those things. So I think in the playoffs, you're seeing a different sort of team at home than you saw in the regular season. I can't really explain. I don't think anybody can explain it. I know that Pete DeBoer decided to change the morning skate from, you know, over at the actual SAP Center over to their practice facilities to try to do something different at home. And, you know, they saw mixed results towards the end of that change. But for the most part, I think they played a lot better at home. I can't explain why, other than the fact that maybe it got away from their rhythm.
1,039 games in the NHL. You never played one game for San Jose Sharks. And how did you get this job? Like, I know Randy Moeller played 13 games with the Panthers.
Can we stay with the playoffs,
and he's a legend. Oh, I can't figure. I want to know this connection. How the hell did you get this gig?
How did you get a good job? Because he's looking, yeah. Brett. Well, he's looking next year.
He even played for Anaheim, who they hate.
Well, you know, it's funny because my wife is from Fremont, California. So it's right between where we live now in the East Bay and San Jose. She grew up a Shark fan. Actually, she was a Shark fan before, you know, before we even met each other. She was a Shark fan.
Okay, so your wife got you the job.
My wife got me the job. Okay. That's right.
Listen, Brett, I'm just kidding, obviously, but tell me about Brett Burns. I mean, you're a former defenseman, as I said, over 1,000 games. We know what he brings offensively. What about his defensive game? Has that come a long way since he's joined the Sharks, or is it still – are they still a little bit nervous about that side of his game?
You know what? This year has been a joy to watch him defensively, and he has had, you know, little tiny moments where he gets off, you know, the rails a little bit, right, where he'll run around in his defensive zone, he'll chase his mistake down, but – like any defenseman in the NHL, you eventually, that light bulb and that light switch flips on. And the fact that you realize that when you make a mistake in your defensive zone, you can't fix it. You just have to trust the other four guys in your goaltender that are going to be there to bail you out, that are going to help to bail you out. And I think that was really a learning experience for Brent Burns over the last few years, watching him. And I think this year, I think playing with Paul Martin has really helped him early on in the year where, you know, he watched maybe Paul Martin, if he made a mistake, he didn't run out of position. He just waited. Sometimes you just stop. And sometimes if you just stop and survey the land, if you will, things just all of a sudden kind of happen for you. You're in the right position. You can break that puck up and off you go. So defensively, Brent Burns has not been a liability. As a matter of fact, he's been a consistent asset where now you're seeing him really be quiet in the defensive zone. He's not running out of position. And that game is now just coming to him defensively, which then outside the blue line, outside his defensive zone, now his creativity, his skill, he just cut him loose. I mean, just let this guy do whatever he wants, and he is deadly, as we're all seeing in the playoffs. And, you know, I was really pumping his tires throughout the course of the season this year because people were really giving him the accolades and saying that he should be a Norris Trophy candidate. Well, I think we're all finally realizing what the talent level of this guy is and what he can do in the course of the game. I mean, when he gets that puck off the wall in the offensive zone, I don't think I've seen anybody better than him in all my days of playing the game of getting that puck back to the front of net with velocity on net with a wrist shot, not a slapper, just a quick wrist shot. And that's coming in with some heat. So, you know, good defensive structure has allowed him his offense just to take over.
You know, there's no question that we've all gotten to know his game at the purest sense, but you know what he's been able to bring this team off the ice as well. I mean, he is a character, but he has tons of character. And I think at times, you know, this organization or Joe at times have been accused of being, you know, I don't know if the right word's aloof, but it's almost as if Brent Burns has brought this levity. Is that the right word?
Yep.
into this organization.
You can get away with it. I'll let you get away with it.
And it's almost like bookend Joe and his kind of like, you know, everybody thinks Joe's
a laissez-faire
surfer dude. But it's almost as if Brent Burns and the way he carries himself has brought the best out of Joe out as well. Does that make any sense at all, Brett?
Yeah, you know what? I want to take it one step back and say that. You know who has a lot, I think, to pat on the back for this? Is Peter DeBoer, Steve Spott, Bob Bugner, and Johan Hedberg, the four coaches. These guys completely embraced Brent Burns for everything that he is and what he brings, his character, his personality. They allowed him to be Brent Burns. They didn't want him to be somebody else. They embraced who Brent Burns was. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I think a guy like Joe Thornton is allowed to just be himself. And I think, you know, when these guys came in here and realized how much these guys, these top-end players, love to come to the rink, particularly Brent Burns and Joe Thornton. When I'm at the rink down there in the morning, the first two guys that usually hit the ice are those two guys, the guys with the big long beards and the hairy beards, and they're out there and they're joking, they're having fun, they're toe-dragging it, and they love the game. That's all they want to do is play hockey. And I think when you really, you know, last year and the coaching staff that was here in the past, I don't think they really truly embraced what Brent Burns is and who he is and the personality that he is.
That's really well put, Brett. You're exactly right, man. Here's, you can see it. You can see it.
Yeah. Here's something for you as you go into your broadcast tonight. Today is the birthday of Peter Mayhew. I don't know whether you guys know who Peter Mayhew is.
No clue.
But he is the actor and the man behind the mask of Chewbacca, who Brent Burns dressed up as at the NHL All-Star Weekend. So the man that looks like the Wookiee on the ice on the day that is the birthday of
you
the man
that
plays that
tonight,
the Wookiee, Peter Mayhew,
that
at the Wookiee Roars on Twitter. So just a little bit extra for
you. I thought you really had a chance to derail it as much as Doug has in the past.
And you know what? Hey, you know, Brett,
good job pulling it back,
Brett,
in.
I don't think your wife got you the job. I really enjoy you on there. I think you do a really great job on the broadcast.
Don't suck up to him now.
I'm sucking up.
If the glass breaks tonight, you can talk about that or Rosterbot. You still doing that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's still going fine. We're in 1,000 cities around the world. It's just been a fun little journey, and it's just a side project, guys. I love hockey. I'm appreciative of being around the game like you guys are, and thanks for having me on.
I did some spots for you, Brett.
Thanks, Brett. Good luck,
that's
man.
A great idea. Thanks, Brett.
See,
thanks,
I want to just
Brett Hedekin,
and I want to follow up
we
on this.
We talked about the DeBoer effect.
I just want to follow up, too, because he's absolutely 100% when you look at a Brent Burns and there might be some things that you're not entirely happy with, but you just embrace who he is without conditions. It's like unconditional love for a child. And then I look at a PK Subban in Montreal, and I don't get that same sense that the Montreal Canadiens look at PK like San Jose would look at Brent Burns and say, this is who he is, this is what he's about, and he's our guy, and we're all in on him. You know, there's more conditional, you know, feel.
Not the same.
In PK and Montreal.
Subban wouldn't be the first player where his coach doesn't give him free rein.
No. You know, I think when you mention that, and I think it's really important in coaching, I think back to when I had Eddie Jovanovski, and everybody wanted to pick apart things about Eddie. But I'll tell you what, he was a little bit like, he came to the rink, he meant business. He was a gamer. He'd do whatever it took to win.
And just like Brent Burns, just like PK Subban.
You got to sometimes let them.
Those guys come to play.
Big time.
Every night.
Yep.
You know, it might not work out exactly the way everybody's happy with, but they leave it on the ice.
More to the positive than to the negative.
9 o'clock tonight, San Jose against St. Louis, Game 3. You can watch it on CBC. The panel will be along with Bob Cole and Mike Johnson with the call. Thanks to Brett Hedekin for stopping by. Game 1 of the MasterCard Memorial Cup is tomorrow night. We'll preview it on the final day of Hockey Central at noon this week.